Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the Sparks City Attorney, Wes Duncan, joins us here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
Come one, come all, it's the $125,000 Carnival of Cash and Prizes at Tamarack Casino. Get in on the fun with cash and free play prize drawings every Thursday and Saturday, including winners of up to $1,000 and a top prize of $5,000 guaranteed each week. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
They want us to believe we only have two options. That's just not working anymore. I've never been a follower. I'm a businessman and entrepreneur. I'm ready to forge a new path to secure our future. One that keeps Northern Nevada free, fair, and wild. A path that means freedom for all, including affordable housing.
I'm Greg Kidd, and I approve this message because I'm not from either political party. I'm for Nevada.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Wes Duncan. He is the Sparks City Attorney. Pleased to have you back, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Supreme Court, boy, did they deliver a lot of decisions here at the end, which, of course, is expected, but it seemed particularly so this time. One decision that I think is at probably the top of your list was the Grants Pass decision. So can you explain, first of all, what the case was and what the resolution is and how it applies?
Sure. So the City of Grants Pass had an ordinance very similar to ordinances that you'll see across really the country, where they were prohibiting camping, prohibiting overnight camping in vehicles and such in their city. A couple of different plaintiffs who were homeless in that community brought an injunctive action against the City of Grants Pass. There was a case out of the Ninth Circuit called Boise v. Martin, where the Boise v. Martin case essentially said you cannot enforce camping laws and blocking of sidewalks and such against the homeless if they are involuntarily homeless and if there is not adequate and appropriate sheltering. And in that case, they said that adequate and appropriate sheltering was essentially if you had more homeless people that exceeded the amount of shelter space, then you didn't have adequate and appropriate sheltering, and that those people living in that jurisdiction were involuntarily homeless. So under that rubric that the Ninth Circuit essentially created under the Eighth Amendment, they were essentially saying if you enforce the law against someone that's homeless, that that's cruel and unusual. So based on that logic of the Ninth Circuit, these plaintiffs brought a case against the City of Grants Pass. They were trying to do similar things that cities were trying to do. They had a shelter, they had a community liaison, a police officer that was trying to connect the homeless to services. They brought an action, and essentially the court there said, nope, you cannot enforce any of these laws. So that case went up to the United States Supreme Court, and by a 6-3 majority, the court said that the experiment, and they kept using the word experiment, that the Boise v. Martin case had really wrought on all Western cities, was unworkable, it was untenable, And really, the case stands for the principle that, you know, local governments, so me being the Sparks City attorney, and local governments best know how to try to fix these problems at the local level. And that's where the fix should come. It shouldn't come from folks that are sitting in federal courthouses somewhere and who are wearing robes and trying to figure out the policy. I think one of the most salient parts of this, right, was, you know, you had cities, and there were hundreds and hundreds of cities that filed on as what are called friend of the court or amicus briefs to this case, including the state of California, the city of San Francisco, you know, Governor Newsom, and cities all across the country. And they were basically saying, look, the way that the federal courts had found under the Martin case was just completely unworkable. Cities would try to come up with a solution, then there would be a lawsuit that came, and the judge would say, you know what, appropriate sheltering in your case isn't appropriate because it's an outdoor facility rather than an indoor facility. Or during COVID, for example, the city of Los Angeles was trying to set up temporary emergency sheltering, and the judge said, you know, the sheltering that you've offered in this case is not appropriate because you don't have people testing people for COVID all the time. You don't have full-time nurses on staff. You don't have full-time security. And so cities just didn't know what to do. And so this case really is going to have a sea change effect on cities across the West because it's going to allow local jurisdictions to deal with the issue of homelessness at the local level. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so how does this apply, for example, to the city of Sparks?
So, you know, we were actually ahead of the curve in the sense that last year we passed ordinances that prohibited the blocking of sidewalks, for example, that prohibited camping up to 1,000 feet off the Truckee River, that prohibited the use of, you know, blow torches and different things, propane generators that would potentially cause warming fires, sleeping in RVs, blocking sidewalks, those type of things. So we were actually ahead of it. We passed those ordinances. Our approach is still going to be one of compassion in the sense that we have a HOPE team. The HOPE team is solely dedicated. It's a three-person officer team solely dedicated to try to connect people to services. And then if you have to, though, use your criminal code as one of the tools or one of the range of options, you're able to do that. I always tell people that, you know, the criminal justice system shouldn't be your first and your last resort, but it has to be a tool that you use, especially for what we're seeing in our city and even what the Supreme Court highlighted in its decision, that the folks that who are now homeless are ones that are resistant to services. So, for example, Seattle last year said that 60% of the people that they encountered didn't want any services, 70% in Portland, Oregon over a two-year period. And we are seeing that in the city of Sparks. Over the last 3 years, we've connected 500 people to services. However, the folks who are left homeless within our community, it's anywhere from 20 to 35 people, are those who continue to say, we don't want services after being offered dozens and dozens of times. And so when that resistance is causing public health, public safety issues, and it's very heightened in places like Oakland and San Francisco and Los Angeles, you have to be able to use the criminal code to be able to protect public health and public safety. And that's what Grants Pass does for the city of Sparks. For us, we're not going to go out and arrest every homeless person. We're going to continue to try to connect them to services. But when people are urinating, defecating, pouring raw sewage into your drinking water, taking over city blocks, sleeping in RVs that are causing RV fires, you have to be able to protect the public health and public safety. Grants Pass does that, and it affirmed what we did in August of 2023 in the sense that they said what our approach is doing is constitutional, and we think it's compassionate, and we think it's the right approach.
Well, the other side, you know, one wants to be compassionate to anybody that's in a situation where they need help. But it seems to me that over the last few years, Washoe County, Reno, Sparks has done an inordinate amount to help people and provide services to get people off the street, to help them move into a better life. But if they choose not to go down that road, we can see the effects in other places. And I mean, I have to say, in my previous office space, not my current one, I'm happy to say, but there were several occasions where people were defecating in the driveway, you know, and the entryway to the building, where I had to call the landlord and say, hey, you need to get somebody. I mean, it's just disgusting. That cannot be something that we tolerate.
Well, and to your point, I mean, and we owe it to our community, and we owe it to business owners, and we owe it to people who are investing in this community to protect public health and public safety. That's not fair to a business owner. And you know, your starting premise was that it's for folks who are, you know, we're doing all we can to help people. Well, you have to be able to accept that help. What we're finding is the folks that are engaging in those type of activities are the ones who are resistant to that help. And they may be resistant for a whole host of reasons. You know, up to 75 to 78% of folks that find themselves homeless, as cited in the Supreme Court decision, have either a mental health issue or a substance abuse issue, right? So you have to be able to try to treat those underlying issues, the reason why someone is behaviorally homeless. But you have to be able to use the criminal code in those circumstances, especially when it's impinging on the rights of third parties, business owners, the community. And so that's why local government is best fit to be able to make those determinations for its jurisdiction. And that's why the Supreme Court did the right thing by allowing cities like the city of Sparks and jurisdictions across the country to be able to tailor services and tailor a police response and a mental health response and a substance abuse response to their community.
Let's take a break, and then I'd like to hit on a couple of other issues, not necessarily in Reno Sparks, but around the region that concern me as well. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Wes Duncan. He's the Sparks City Attorney. So recently I was in Oakland a couple of weekends ago and staying in Jack London Square, which is perfectly safe. They have their own security there. But walking three blocks away from Jack London Square, there's a diner, and on the outside of the diner, on every table, it says, beware, cars are being broken into, do not leave anything in your car that somebody could see that could be valuable. I mean, it is getting worse and worse there. We stopped going to the Bay Area about 3 years ago because we were almost carjacked there, and we were coming up across places in Marin County where you would think one of the most beautiful places in the country and one of the richest counties in the country, and they're having similar issues in their tourist locations overlooking the Golden Gate Bridge. What the heck is going on?
Well, I think my response with that is that, you know, legislative changes have consequences, right? So taking it to more local and to the state of Nevada, for example, you know, our office launched with the Sparks Police Department an anti-retail theft initiative last year because we were seeing a rash of larceny and people coming in and shoplifting, you know, coming out from out of the region, doing those different things. So, you know, what has happened in the state of Nevada over the last few years? Well, in 2021, they did so-called criminal justice reform that changed the burglary statutes, that raised the thresholds for how much you could steal without being charged with a felony. Even car burglary crimes in the state of Nevada had changed, where they changed. It used to be you could charge someone with a B felony, and now they changed the level of felony. And so that's what you've seen happen in jurisdictions and states across the country. And you know, a lot of jurisdictions, depending on who their district attorney is or what the response is from law enforcement, a lot of them will say, well, we're not going to work up a case if either the district attorney is not going to prosecute the case, or the legislature is telling us that breaking into a person's car isn't even a felony anymore, maybe on the first offense. So I really believe that those legislative changes have consequences, and I'll tell you why. We have people so for example, we were working with a large retailer. They have a person that they are aware of that has stolen from their large big box store over 80 times. And they do that across Northern California. Then they cross into Nevada and they steal more. People understand, hey, I can steal up to $1,199.99 in the state of Nevada and I won't be charged with a felony. And in fact, I can walk into that store with the intent to steal that much, and I won't even be charged with a burglary. Those kind of changes, even for more sophisticated defendants and suspects that come into jurisdictions, those type of legislative changes have an impact on the criminal code, and we've seen that specifically. And that's why we're saying we've got a zero tolerance policy for this stuff. We're going to be having plainclothes operations. We're going to have a zero tolerance policy. We're going to go after you in the city of Sparks, arrest you, prosecute you if you're coming into businesses and ripping them off. But you have to be able to have teeth. I'm prosecuting things in my jurisdiction, in my office, because I can prosecute all misdemeanor crimes that used to be felonies, Sam, just a few years ago. And so that's why those legislative changes have such an impact. Criminals know exactly, you know, what they're allowed to do, and they'll go up to that line.
Okay, but let me ask you this. That makes total sense for organized retail crime, for example. But has this spread to where people are just doing more theft, period, whether they know what the limits are or not? It's just become, a national/regional thing, where shoplifting is now an acceptable practice among certain people.
Well, look, I mean, you see whether that's a societal or a deeper cultural issue that's happening. I can just tell you that, sometimes when our police department will arrest juveniles, some will have the response of being very contrite and very sad, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. And others are just like, yeah, no problem, call my parents, just arrest me, it's no big deal. But you value in your communities, in your states, what you say shouldn't be tolerated. If you say things that used to be felonies were bad and now we're saying, well, it's not that big of a deal, coupled with the fact that we've done bail reform, that most people will shoplift and they will either not spend a night in jail or they will spend 1 or 2 days max before they're bailed out because of all the bail reform that happens, you can go and you're going to do the cost-benefit analysis to say, hey, what's the risk of going into a store and stealing? I can steal up almost $1,200 of goods, and it's not even a felony, and I probably won't spend that much time in jail. There's not consequences for those actions. So I think those societal implications from legislative changes have a ripple effect. I mean, you could talk
Chris Hicks was on the show, the Washoe County DA, and this is probably 18 months or so ago, and he said something to the effect of that he was okay with the criminal justice reforms, but he wanted the legislature to pay the cost to the local groups like yourself or to DAs, sheriffs, to cover the cost of this. Was he wrong about that?
No, I don't think, look, and I assume, I didn't see the interview, he's not talking broad
brush. You need to watch more often, sorry.
The district attorney's office, you know, prosecutes all felony level crimes throughout the county. And there are criminal justice reforms, for example, for nonviolent folks with drugs and those kind of things, that you want to try to use mental health court or drug court or those type of things to try to get at root causes so that people won't continue to commit more crimes. But I know the DA, District Attorney Hicks, has talked pretty forcibly about the fact that a lot of the criminal justice reform actually has hurt law enforcement and prosecutors' ability to really go after those type of crimes. So I know he's not in favor of those thresholds being increased and the burglar statute.
No, I think he was more saying he would be, you know, more willing to deal with them if there was money to be able to back it up.
Well, of course. I mean, it's a resources issue and unfunded mandates that occur. For example, you know, the bail reform, right, where it was initially that they wanted within 24 hours to have a bail hearing. Now they changed it to 48 hours, but you have prosecutors and judges working all over the weekend and working holidays and doing different things, right? That's an unfunded mandate on a county. And, you know, the district attorney's office or our office has to use resources to be able to cover those hearings and do those things. Some of that criminal justice reform is okay. I will say, though, that a lot of it, I think, was wrong-headed in the sense of, especially in retail theft, where you're diluting, you know, deterrence actually does work. I mean, people know that in the city of Sparks, right, if you are committing retail theft, we are going to prosecute you. We are going to arrest you. We have continuous operations all the time going on and working with retail businesses to try to deter and stop that type of behavior. So when you dilute your criminal code, it has an impact. And the proof is absolutely in what we're seeing in our jurisdiction. You've seen huge increases. One big box store in just the city of Sparks had like $2.5 million of retail theft last year. When did that start happening? We asked the question. Oh, just over the last 2 years. Well, that tracks perfectly with the criminal justice reform that you saw from the legislature.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back more with Wes Duncan after this timeout.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Here on 7 at 7, we're bringing you the local headlines in just 7 minutes.
We've got you covered in the morning, evening, and for all breaking news, in between, and as it happens.
Life is busy, and we don't waste your time. Join us for local news now streaming on our YouTube page.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Wes Duncan. He's the Sparks City Attorney. Chief Judge Lynn Jones of Washoe County was discussing the kind of cases on the docket in Washoe County currently. And she said the three things she brought up, drug trafficking, child sexual assault, and we have a rash of murders. How does that sound to you in regard to the city of Sparks?
Well, look, I mean, we're concerned, I think, as a city and as a law enforcement entity to want to make sure that public safety and everything is high up on the list. I think regionally, you know, when you look at crime and you look at it regionally, you want to ensure that, our laws, so we had that discussion about, are we diluting laws that are causing more crime? I think we want to make sure that we're working together as sister prosecution agencies and law enforcement agencies to continue to try to cut down on major type of crime. That's why they have things like the crime suppression unit and different entities like that, the gang unit and those type of things. And we have a HEAT team that goes after sexual assault and human trafficking. And so continuing to work together to do those things. I do think that the legislature needs to take a look at what are the consequences of the laws that are being passed, and is that driving different behavior?
And that's where we got to leave it. I always thank you for coming in.
Thanks.
Always appreciate it, man. Wes Duncan, Sparks City Attorney. We'll be right back.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real. It's growing. And it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Calamity. It lurks around every corner. Or not.
That's why UMC Quick Care is around every corner, with locations around the valley.
UMC Quick Care. For all your small calamities.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day on various platforms, including television, radio, our website, audio and video podcasts, YouTube. You want to find the show, you can find it pretty darn easily. And we cover politics, business, health, and education. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on the next one.